नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're starting a new chapter in the 8th canto, chapter 24. It's called Matsya, the Lord's fish incarnation. I'm going to do texts 1, 2 and 3. So text 1, Shri Rajo Vacha, Bhagavan Chotram Ichhami, हरेर अद्भुत कर्मणः अवतार कथा मादा आद्याम माया मत्स्य विडंबनम श्रीराजो वाच भगवान श्रोत्रुम इच्छामि हरेर अद्भुत कर्मणः अवतार कथाम आद्याम माया मत्स्य विडंबनम भगवान श्रोत्रुम इच्छामि हरेर अद्भुत कर्मणः अवतार कथाम आद्याम माया मत्स्य विडंबनम। भगवान श्रोत्रमिच्छामि हरेर अद्भुत कर्मणः अवतार कथाम आद्याम माया मत्स्य विडंबनम। लेडीज प्लीज। श्रीराजो वाच भगवान श्रोत्रमिच्छामि हरेरद्भुतकर्मणः अवतारकथाम् आद्याम् मायामत्स्य विडम्बनम्। श्रीराजोवाच भगवान् श्रोत्रुमिच्छामि हरेरद्भुतकर्मणः अवतार कथा माद्याम माया मत्स्य विडंबनम। श्री राजा उवाच किंग परीक्षित सेड भगवन् ओ मोस्ट पावरफुल श्रोत्रुम टू हियर इच्छामि I desire, Harehe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, Adbhuta Karmanaha, whose activities are wonderful, Avatara Katham, pastimes of the incarnation, Adyam, first, Maya Matsya Vidambanam, which is simply an imitation of a fish. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Parikshit said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is eternally situated in his transcendental position. Yet he descends to this material world and manifests himself in various incarnations. His first incarnation was that of a great fish. O most powerful Shukadev Goswami, I wish to hear from you the pastimes of that first incarnation, of that fish incarnation." Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all powerful, yet he accepted the form of an uncommon fish. This is one of the 10 original incarnations of the Lord. Texts 2 and 3. This is Parikshit speaking. What was the purpose for which the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepted the abominable form of a fish? Exactly as an ordinary living being accepts different forms under the laws of karma. The form of a fish is certainly condemned and full of terrible pain. O my Lord, what is the purpose of this incarnation? Kindly explain this to us, for hearing about the pastimes of the Lord is auspicious for everyone. Purport. Parikshit Maharaj's question to Shukadev Goswami was based on this principle stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 7. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. The Lord appears in each incarnation to save the world from irreligious principles and especially to protect his devotees, Paritranaya Sadhunam. Vamanadev, for example, appeared to save the devotee Bali Maharaja. Similarly, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepted the abominable form of a fish, he must have done so to favor some devotee. Parikshit Maharaj was eager to know about the devotee for whom the Supreme Lord accepted this form. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Chari Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'm going to read the summary of the chapter because having a big picture perspective is important. So that lets out the whole reason why the Lord appeared, what the pastime particularly is, etc. And then the rest of the verses give the wonderful details. This chapter describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead's incarnation as a fish. And it also describes the saving of Maharaj Satyavrata from an inundation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself by Swamsha, his personal expansions, and Vibhinnamsha, his expansions as the living entities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chuduskratam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears on this planet for the protection of sadhus or devotees and for the destruction of the miscreants or non-devotees. He especially descends to give protection to the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods, the devotees, and the Vedic system of religion. Thus he appears in various forms, sometimes as a fish, sometimes as a boar, sometimes Nrsimhadev, sometimes Vamanadev, and so on. But in any form or incarnation, although he comes within the atmosphere of the material modes of nature, he is unaffected. This is a sign of his supreme controlling power. Although he comes within the material atmosphere, Maya cannot touch him. Therefore, no material qualities can be attributed to him in any degree. Once, at the end of the previous kalpa, what's a kalpa? One day of Brahma. Once at the end of the previous kalpa, a demon named Hayagriva wanted to take the Vedic knowledge away from Lord Brahma at the time of annihilation. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took the incarnation of a fish at the beginning of the period of Svayambhuva Manu and saved the Vedas. During the reign of Chakshusha Manu, there was a king named Satyavrata who was a great pious ruler. To save him, the Lord appeared as the fish incarnation for a second time. King Satyavrata later became the son of the sun god and was known as Shraddhadeva. He was established as Manu by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To receive the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Satyavrata engaged in the austerity of subsisting only by drinking water. Once, while performing this austerity on the bank of the Kritamala River and offering oblations of water with the palm of his hand, he found a small fish. The fish appealed to the king for protection, asking the king to keep him in a safe place. Although the king did not know that the small fish was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, as a king he gave shelter to the fish and kept him in a water jug. The fish, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wanted to show his potency to King Satyavrata, and he thus immediately expanded his body in such a way that he could no longer be kept in the jug of water. The king then put the fish in a big well, but the well was also too small. Then the king put the fish in a lake, but the lake was also unsuitable. Finally, the king put the fish in the sea, but even the sea could not accommodate him. Thus the king understood that the fish was no one else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he requested the Lord to describe his incarnation as a fish. The Personality of Godhead, being pleased with the king, informed him that within a week there would be an inundation throughout the universe and that the fish incarnation would protect the king along with the rishis, herbs, seeds and other living entities in a boat which would be attached to the fish's horn. After saying this, the Lord disappeared. King Satyavrata offered respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord and continued to meditate upon him. In due course of time, annihilation took place and the king saw a boat coming near. After getting aboard with learned brahmanas, the saintly persons, he offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and thus he taught Maharaj Satyavrata and the saintly persons about Vedic knowledge from the core of the heart. King Satyavrata took his next birth as Vaivasvata Manu, who is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Vivasvan Manave Puraha. The sun god spoke the science of Bhagavad Gita to his son Manu. Because of his being the son of Vivasvan, This Manu is known as Vaivasvata Manu. Okay, so the many interesting things as far as philosophy is concerned, there's a few things. So the Manu, under whose rule we are right now, is called Vaivasvata Manu. So this very person, his actual name is Shraddhadeva. In his previous life, he was King Satyabrat. So there are 14 Manus. Right now, we are around, you know, mid-morning, noon period for Lord Brahma. Because in one day of Brahma, 14 Manus, when they change, the seventh Manu means somewhere in the middle of the day. And just as we all have certain activities and services that we do during the day, and at the end of the day, we end those activities and start again the next day. For Lord Brahma, as the creator, at the end of his day, his service is that many of the planets and planetary systems that are the earth and below, they get destroyed or annihilated or inundated. It's called a partial destruction. And when the morning starts, Lord Brahma recreates everything again. Now one may wonder, oh really, is that possible? Are these nice stories? So there is a parallel that's drawn so we can understand. Because Lord Brahma's service is of cosmic order. So for us it's difficult to fathom cosmic order things. We can understand it through our frame of experience. If you know how a computer works, I don't. I only know a few things of how it works. But here's how it works. The whole day when our computer is on and we're working on it, we're saving files, we're creating documents, we're making spreadsheets, PowerPoint, whatever we're doing, we work on our computer. And when our day ends, we shut down our computer. We shut it off. So when a computer shuts off, although to our visual sense, the screen goes blank, the processor just stops working, but you know that the data is not lost. You know, if it by the shutdown data would be lost, we'd be in deep trouble. So what happens to that data is that it's stored in little bits of information. Some bits. The only language computer understands is bits. A zero and a one. Mean either on position or an off position. Many of these zeros and ones combine to make a byte of information. So eight of them. These bytes combine to make a kilobyte, which combine to make a megabyte, which combine to make gigabytes, like that. This memory stored in quantity. So next morning, when we turn on our computer, all those bits of information that are stored, they come back together. And the entire file that we had created the previous day gets recreated. It's stored in memory, but it gets all put together and comes back. And that's how we retrieve a file for ourselves. So nothing different for Lord Brahma. Except that his files and everything are all the universal and the planets and living entities. So it's a little bit more complicated structure of things. Just a little bit more complicated. But that's how it works. So the end of day is when much of the universe or a part of the universe gets inundated and annihilated. If there was no creation again, Lord Brahma would be sitting figuring out, what am I supposed to do? Right? We know this as a principle. Prabhupada taught us that if there's not enough service to do, then our minds become idle. Idle mind is devil's workshop. Then we become mental, and then we space out, and then we travel on the chariot for a long while till someone comes and shakes us up and says, do some service, Prabhu. Right? So even Lord Brahma doesn't sit idle. It's not like once he created the universe, okay, I'll just travel on the swan, drink water from the Kamandalu, sprinkle here and there. No, he's very busy. He's very busy. He's constantly kept engaged. Even Lord Brahma. And one of his services is, every morning, he has to recreate the part of the universe. So, same for us. You know, we do the same things again and again. Every day we wake up, we brush our teeth, we shower, we change clothes, we come down, we sing, we read, we chant, we do our service, we do it again every day. Same. Everything has routine work. It's called occupational duty or service. So one such evening of Lord Brahma, there was a demon who showed up in the dead of night to steal the Vedas from Lord Brahma. That demon's name was Hayagriva. Now, there is an incarnation of the Lord also called Hayagriva. So we shouldn't be confused between the two. Haya means horse, and Griva means neck or a horse head. So this demon was, had a horse's head. Even the Lord took such an incarnation. So he's also called Hayagriva. Lord Shiva is called Nilagriva because he has a blackish stripe around his neck. Nilagriva. So anyway, so Hayagriva, in the dead of night of Lord Brahma, wanted to steal the Vedas. And because there was only water everywhere, so the Lord appeared in the form of a fish, Matsya, and reclaimed the Vedas. Because without the Vedas, Lord Brahma's service cannot continue. He's the one who propagates the Vedas. We see Lord Brahma, he has four heads, four hands, and one of the hands, in one of his hands, he holds the four Vedas. So, the Lord appeared again as a fish in the beginning of just about the next day is about to start. It had just begun actually. And the first person is Swayambhuva Manu. And during Swayambhuva Manu's, just before that time, was Vivaswan's son. At this time his name was Satyabrata. So the Lord appeared as a fish again to tell him that an inundation is coming very soon and I'm going to come again to protect you and protect the Vedas, the Brahmanas, the sages, etc. so that when the next day starts, everything is there in place. And because you're such a wonderful king and a devotee, the Lord gave him a very wonderful service to become a Manu in his next life. Now we've just finished this chapter on Bali Maharaj, or this section on Bali Maharaj. Bali is right now in Sutala planet and is waiting for his turn. That when Vaivaswata Manu changes in another 500 yuga cycles, less than 500 yuga cycles, Bali will become the next Indra. So if you know who's the next Manu, do you know? After Vaivaswata Manu? Okay. Recently in our Bhakti Shastra, we had a homework for everyone, so I can't remember. We listed out all the 14 Manus for the day, this day of Brahma. So when the next Manu comes, Bali Maharaj will become Indra. Because every time a Manu comes, the whole cabinet of persons, they change. Suryadev, Chandra, Indra, Varuna, Vayu, Ganesh, they all change. They all new persons come and take those positions. Right now, our Ganesha is the one with the elephant head. The next Ganesha may not be like that. So then the question Parikshit Maharaj is raising is, I want to know a little bit about this fish incarnation of the Lord. He's prompting. The question has come from him. And he uses this phrase, Shrotrum Ichhami. I desire to hear from you. Now, we know that the spiritual masters and the sadhus' realizations only come out when there is an inquisitive recipient. If a person is not inquisitive, then the spiritual master or the devotee or the sadhu will not bring out their realizations. It's not mine. So, there's a story. There was a man who was invited to come and speak to a village about God. So he goes to the village and he asks the people who had gathered, how many of you believe in God? Everyone raised their hands. So he said, if you already know and you already believe in God, there's nothing for me to speak. And he left. So they ran after him and called him back. No, please come. We want to hear from you. So then he asked the question, how many of you believe in God? So last time, because they raised their hands, he left. So none of them raised their hands. They all kept quiet. He said, if none of you believes in God, what's the point of my speaking? And he went away. So they went after him and brought him back. No, please come. And this time they plotted that only half of us will raise our hands, the other half will not. So he asked again, how many of you believe in God? So half of the room raised its hand, the other half did not. He said, all right, those who have raised their hand, those who believe in God, you speak to the ones who don't believe. Why don't need to speak here? And he walked away. The point is, unless there is inquisitiveness, a devotee, the spiritual master is not inspired to reveal. Now here we see Parikshit Maharaj is very inquisitive. He's inquisitive about two things. He says, Harer Adbhuta Karmanaha. I am very interested in hearing this very amazing activities of Krishna. And Krishna's activities, although he hasn't said it, but it's implicit in it, is he wants to hear about other devotees. Because the Lord does fascinating things for his devotees. So he says, I just heard about Bali Maharaj. I'm sure there is some devotee for whom the Lord took the form of a fish. Avatara Katham. I want to hear these pastimes of the Lord's incarnations. Adyam, the very first one, because when this day of Brahma began, that's the first incarnation. Maya Matsya Vidambanam. This word Vidambanam shows up two or three times in the Bhagavatam. Especially when Queen Kunti is offering her prayers. Vidambanam means hidden or imitation or like an actor putting on a new costume and putting on makeup such that you can't recognize who that original actor is. And so he says, Maya Matsya Vidambanam, this imitation like a fish. Now first of all, in the Prabhupada writes, that the fish itself is a very abominable creature. So for who must be that devotee for whom the Lord has taken a seemingly abominable form? Why? Why would the Lord do something like that? I mean, it's no fun being a fish. And he says it's abominable and painful for many reasons. The fish is described in the Vedas as that animal that dies simply for the desire for eating. To satisfy its tongue, the fish meets with death. We hear from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Tara madhye jivha ati lobhamaya. Ati lobhamaya means that the tongue is extremely greedy. And in the case of the fish, the tongue is so greedy that it leads him or her or it to its death. Right? Every time there is a worm and the fish looks at the worm, what is it that the fish does not see? The hook. He sees the worm, does not see the hook. But the worm is attached to the hook. This is the problem with the fish. He sees the worm, but doesn't see the hook. And as soon as he opens his mouth to grab that worm, the hook goes right through his palate. And he's pulled out of water, suddenly yanked out of it. And he flaps for some oxygen. And he can only breathe in water. If you take it out of water, he can't breathe. He flaps on the floor and he dies. Why? Because when he saw the worm, he didn't see the hook. He couldn't tell, oh, I shouldn't do it. So Prabhupada said that fishing is not a sport. And he advised devotees not to fish. Because fishing, he said, is cheating. You cheat the animal, or you cheat that little fellow. He thinks of the worm, but you've put the hook there. This is not a sport. So this is why the fish is considered abominable. Very smelly. And if you, I don't know if any of you ate fish before. I never ate. But the whole process of eating it, cleaning it, is just too much. And it is very yucky. But when the Lord takes on the form of the fish, the purport in the verse says, one should not confuse to think that the Lord is also an ordinary fish. He can take on any form, but he is unaffected by the modes of nature. So I've been thinking about this phrase, affected by the modes of nature. What does that mean? What does that mean for us? Affected by the modes of nature means if we find ourselves in a situation where the modes of passion and ignorance are very strong, then it is quite likely that we will become influenced and our own thinking and acting will be according to that mode of nature. We become, we say, conditioned or influenced by. For example, if someone comes at us angrily, or someone comes with some proposition by which our greed or lust can become stimulated, then it is quite likely, each person may have a certain amount of resistance, but it is quite likely, depending upon where that or how much that stimulus is, it is quite likely that we'll become affected by it. If someone provides us a lusty proposition, lusty doesn't have to necessarily mean sexual, Anyway, lusti means a tendency to enjoy separate from Krishna, or a proposition for some profit, a proposition for some things by which we may become angered. Let's say someone came and told us, do you know what they said about you? Huh? What did they say? So we have the tendency of becoming affected by passion or ignorance. Even goodness for that matter. One of the things we get, what is the attachment in goodness? Happiness and holier than thou. The two things that peg a person, or goodness pegs a person by two things. Yes. Knowledge and happiness. So a person actually becomes, oh, I want this knowledge, I want that knowledge, I want it. Or happiness. That's why you see people who are very stuck to their schedule, for example. It's a nice thing. You disturb it and they become irritated because they don't want that happiness to go away. They're very like this. And they will not be flexible because in that, if you move from there, they become unhappy. Passion, it pegs a person down by hankering and lamenting. They're greedy for this, or sad for something in the past. They're always in the future or in the past. And ignorance? No, what does ignorance peg a person down by? Anger and madness. Yeah, but mostly it's sleep and inaction. I don't feel like it's too much to deal with it. Tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, not today. This is just like, that's how ignorance hits a person. Or, this is too much, I just want to go sleep. I don't have to deal with all these issues. Right? Right. I mean, not you, all of us. Right, I'm just asking whether I'm saying the right thing or not. So being affected by modes of nature means when we find ourselves in certain circumstances, then our thinking and behavior is according to a response to that circumstance. But in the case of the Supreme Lord or His pure devotee, regardless of what the circumstance is, their mind and behavior does not change from the platform of service. If they are tempted with something, it doesn't matter. If there is some reason for becoming angry, it doesn't affect them. Right? One of the words that Prabhupada uses is dhira, sober. Sober means that they are not affected by the circumstance. All of us, I'm affected by the circumstance. So when speaking of dhira, Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Shiva as a dhira. There are others also, the six Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada, dhira, many, many pastimes that show Prabhupada's dhira nature. He quotes Lord Shiva. So here's what happened. Throughout the Bhagavatam, one of the things we see is that the demons and the demigods are constantly fighting. The demons are fighting to usurp the service of the demigods. And the demigods are fighting to defend themselves mostly. So that's why they're constantly fighting with each other. So in one situation, the demons had completely destroyed the demigods. And the demigods did not have an able general. So they had a little conference with Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma said, there's only one person who can give birth to a mighty general, and that is Lord Shiva. And a son that will come from Lord Shiva was very strong. He can help. But unfortunately, Lord Shiva is in a state of deep meditation because just recently his wife, Sati, committed, I shouldn't say suicide, but you know, she left this planet. What was the word? Sati. Sati. No, that's not why she's called Sati. But anyway, she was upset with Daksha and she gave up her body. Sati. So he's in a very, he's in a mood of separation. He's withdrawn himself into meditation. So if you go and talk to him about politics and, you know, giving birth to a child and demon, you know, fighting the demons, he's not interested. There's no way. You can go offer prayers, he won't even open his eyes. So then they said, what to do? So he came up with a plan. The plan was to send the daughter of King Parvata, the Himalayas, the king of the Himalayas. He had a very, very attractive daughter. In fact, she's so attractive that all living entities are attracted by her, including us. Her name is Parvati. Parvata's daughter is Parvati. And they said, send her. She may attract his mind. Because how much ever someone might be in meditation, if a young girl is around, it's a little difficult. So they sent Parvati. That was their whole thing. And Parvati was even told, so she should touch the genitals of Lord Shiva to agitate him. And she did. But Lord Shiva was not agitated at all. They were all like, oh my gosh. Even this does not work on him. What to do? Then they all offered prayers. And Lord Shiva finally consented. And Kartika or Kumara was born from Parvati and Lord Shiva, who became or is now the general of the armies. And Prabhupada quotes this story to show how dhira Lord Shiva is. And Prabhupada defines dhira means he or she who is not disturbed when there are enough reasons to be disturbed. Still, a person who is not disturbed is called dhira. And the opposite of that is adhira. Similarly, the Lord is like that, dhira. The Lord's devotees, pure devotees are like that, dhiras. That they have all the circumstances around that such that they might become agitated by the modes of nature, because everywhere around us is the modes of nature. The material energy is agitated and active because of the modes of nature. It seems active because of the modes of nature. To stay within all of that and not be influenced by circumstances, that's dhira. For example, right now, for some of us, it's very cold. So we respond to it by putting on jackets and sweaters and shawl and hats and gloves and socks and all that. And as it grows colder, the more the layers. As it gets hotter, you know, the fewer the layers. So we respond to the environment around us, for example. The six Goswamis, they're nothing. Doesn't matter what the weather was, what the climate was. They had no bed to go sleep on. Every night they slept under a different tree. Why? Because that's renunciation. Otherwise you get used to that tree. Sleeping under that tree, you get used to it. It's comforting. How? My tree. So that's a one of the ways, of course, we don't have to live like that. Prabhupada did not necessarily live like that to say we all are supposed to. But that's a demonstration of their dhira nature. Or physical pain, hunger, thirst, sleep, anger, greed, lust, knowledge, sense of happiness in this world. They're all manifestations of the modes of nature which we find ourselves in. And we respond to it accordingly, or react to it accordingly. But the Lord, although He appears as a fish, He is still the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unaffected by the circumstances around Him, or the modes of nature, said another way. That's the greatness of Him. And He demonstrates it, because there's no fish that grows so fast every day. First He showed up, you know, in the river, this tiny little fish in the pond. He says, King Satyavrata, help me. I'm a little tiny fish. Can you please help me? So King Satyavrata took pity on him. Oh, little baby fish. And put him in his water pot. And came home. And suddenly the fish was so big. It grew so much that it didn't fit the water pot. Oh, it's very uncomfortable. Do something. Okay. I'll put you in a pond. It turned around next morning. It was so huge. It didn't fit the pond. Like, too small. Do something. Okay. I'll put you back in the... I don't know how he carried him from the pond to the sea, but he did. And here's how he's unaffected. I don't know if you know, a freshwater fish cannot survive in ocean or seawater. And a seawater fish cannot survive in freshwater. But this fish, it didn't matter what water you put it in. Because he came from the pond to the water pot, went to the pond, went back to the sea. He said, okay, this is a big, you know, reservoir of water. I'll put you in it. Satyavrata turned around and the fish became so big, he said, sea is too small. Do something about it. It's at that point that Satyavrata realizes, you're no ordinary fish. He offers his obeisances and says, who are you? And the fish says, I am the Supreme Lord. Matsya, I came just for you. And you offered me service. I'm very happy with you. And he vanished. Or disappeared from his vision. And before he disappeared from his vision, he told him, I'll come back when there is inundation to save you and the great sages. And he gave him some instructions. So King Satyavrata is the original Noah. Right? Isn't that one of the biblical stories? Ark, Noah, and Noah's Ark. He had a boat. All the specific species were in that boat. And so here's Matsya Avatar, saving Satyavrata, Noah, and all the other species. So that when Satya Yuga begins again, all the herbs, the sages, the Vedas, they're preserved. And the next day of Brahma can begin. So this is how the Lord appears for Paritranaya Sadhunam. He appears. He takes on seemingly weird, abominable forms just for the sake of pastimes. We also have taken forms like that. We have taken form of fish, cockroach, mouse, lizard, eagle, pigeon, hawk, vulture, frog, bear, monkey, cow, lion, demigod, human being, pygmies, Caucasian, African American, Asian, back to cockroach, fly, bug. What is that bug? That has dots on it and has this round looking thing. Huh? Ladybug, honeybee, hornet, snake, rattlesnake. We rattled our tail when someone came to us. Python, lazy, whatever. We did all that. But we were forced by karma to take such birth. The Lord is not forced. He can choose as he likes and remain unaffected. That's the glory, that's the beauty of the Lord's activities when he shows up in all these wonderful features. It's very exhilarating to talk about and hear and discuss, because it's Maya Vidambanam. It looks like but is not a fish. Any comments, questions?
I'm thinking of verse, I think it's from Sri Ishvapanishad, where it says that the Lord doesn't have any veins.
Right.
Is that right? I'm just trying to understand the spiritual form, like of the fish incarnation, or just any incarnation. It's like, it's just completely different from like material conception, and nothing
it
material.
It is Satchidananda Vigraha.
Yeah. But it's still, it functions almost like material, like still the spiritual bodies. They eat things in the spiritual body.
I'll tell you more. It's more bewildering. Not only as a fish, but even as the form of Krishna, no veins, no blood, no pus, urine, stool, mucus, nothing. But appears as a baby, crawls on the floor, feels hungry. When she doesn't feed him, he breaks the pot because he becomes angry. And then he grows up, and then he grows up, and then he stops growing. And then when he's fighting on the battlefield, he's pierced with arrows of Bhishma Dev. There is blood seemingly coming out of his wounds. His hair is ashen color. What's going on? There's this transcendental form that looks like, feels like, seems like material. And in fact, for bewildering the atheist, it even acts like material. But it is fully eternity, knowledge and bliss form. Ananda Chin Maya Rasa. Ananda Chin Maya mean Ananda and Chit. It's full of Chit and Ananda. That's why the Lord and his form are very, very difficult to perceive. When Rupa Goswami says that our blunt senses cannot fathom the form or the name or activities of the Lord, that's what it means. Ram Navami is coming up. Here's something I'd heard, and we'll elaborate a little bit. Among all the incarnations of the Lord that we hear in the Bhagavatam, do you know which are the most bewildering and confusing? The forms of Lord Ram and Krishna. They're the most confusing. Because when he appears as a fish, let's say, and suddenly the fish grows so big, so large, someone will at least know, hey, this is not ordinary. Right? The doubts will go away very quickly. Like, psh, okay. Or when he appears as Narasimha Dev, it's not like, is he really God? He's just too fierce and powerful. Right? But when he appears as Krishna or Rama, man, that bewilders the mind like anything. Crawling on the floor, holding the tail of cows, and, you know, running around, doing silly things like stealing the garments of the gopis, stealing butter every day. Or Lord Ramchandra crying when Sita Devi was kidnapped. It is described in Ramayana that he cried so piteously, like an ordinary man cries for his beloved. It's just unbelievably, you know, how maddened Lord Ram was when Sita was kidnapped, that he went and he became irrational, according to, you know, the plain sight. You know, he became irrational. He went and asked Lakshmana, what happened to Sita? Then he started asking the forest animals, did you see Sita? Then he went and asked the trees and plants and asked the leaves of the creepers, did you see Sita? So irrational. Or you talk to leaves or what? But that's the, we understand that it's the power or the separation, the heightened levels of separation. But for an ordinary person who reads it, like, what? And then you see Krishna standing in front of Arjuna telling him, fight, fight, fight. And Arjuna says, I don't want to fight. People think, what kind of a god is he? Most gods will say, or you know, their understanding is, don't fight, don't fight. This god, the Hindu god Krishna, he says, fight, fight, fight. What's going on? Fight. So things is very, very, very bewildering. And therefore, these incarnations are discussed at the end of Bhagavatam, because they're the most difficult to understand and fathom. But that's what it is. Someone else said, okay, I got the shut up signal from Subal Prabhu. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. We have a meeting and ran over.